Track 5, 250 years young, two venerable institutions recently reached a significant landmark, the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital and the Norfolk Club.
Exactly 250 years ago, the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital opened to three patients. It soon became a centre for medical excellence and home to the world's biggest collection of bladder stones. Those and the skull of the man who coined the words coma, electricity, hallucination and medical are part of Norfolk's most intriguing museum. Full disclosure, the skull is a replica, but it was once the real stolen skull of the great Norwich scientist and philosopher Thomas Brown, until the hospital returned the original for reburial exactly a century ago. And while it may have opened with three patients, its staff now deal with 3,000 patients a day. In the early days, one of the most frequently performed operations was the removal of bladder stones. Norfolk had an unusually high incidence of bladder stones, and the hospital's surgeons became renowned for their skill. For almost 150 years, every bladder stone removed by Norfolk surgeons was carefully weighed, recorded and stored, and they are still all preserved. The hospital's archives include a book recording around 1,500 bladder stone operations, including the name and age of each patient, the surgeon, and the weight of each stone, until the epidemic abruptly stopped around 1909, perhaps because of a change in diet. Kim Barker-Otley, Norfolk and Norwich Hospital librarian, said the book itself is also fascinating. It was damaged by water as fires were extinguished after Second World War bombing raids, and she said, "It's a piece of history which has its own history." In 250 years, the hospital has bridged the gap between treatment with leeches and herbs to robotic surgery and treating cancer with immunotherapy. Originally funded by wealthy subscribers, it was set up by acclaimed surgeon Benjamin Gooch and landowner William Fellows, who had already worked together to open England's first cottage hospital in Shottesham, south of Norwich. The Norfolk and Norwich opened on St Stephen's Road, Norwich, in 1772 with 20 beds. There were doctors, an apothecary and a matron, but no specialist anaesthetist until 1911. It became part of the National Health Service in 1948 and moved to Coney Lane on the edge of Norwich in 2001. Today's hospital has more than 1,200 beds and 10,000 staff. The old rules: no pay for surgeons, no admission for anyone dying, no swearing, and patients required to help with laundry were just some of the rules of the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital in 1782, which included no treasurer, auditor, physician or surgeon shall receive any reward, salary or gratuity from the hospital for his service. No one would be admitted who was dying, suffering from an infectious or incurable disease, heavily pregnant, disordered in their senses, epileptic, or had venereal disease. Patients were forbidden to swear, curse, behave rudely or indecently on pain of expulsion after their first admonition. Cards, dice, or any other game were forbidden. Such patients as are able had to nurse other patients, wash and iron linen, clean wards, and help with such other service as the matron shall require. Nurses had to behave with tenderness to the patients and civility and respect to strangers, and clean wards by 7 a.m. in summer and 8 a.m. in winter. At least two hospital governors had to visit daily, carrying a white wand to identify themselves, to check with patients that they were properly cared for, and that the food was good and prayers had been read. Thomas Brown died in 1682 and was buried inside St. Peter Mancroft Church in Norwich. His skull was taken when his coffin was accidentally reopened by workmen in 1840. It was sold to a hospital doctor and eventually reburied at St. Peter Mancroft in 1922, where it is recorded in the burial register as aged 317 years. Find out about the history of the hospital and see exhibits from its archives at Norwich Forum from 9th to 18th September, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. as part of HOD's Heritage Open Days.
Set a little way back from a busy Norwich street is a discreet, handsome three-storey Georgian townhouse. It is home to an institution you may well know little or nothing about, even though it has been in existence for more than 250 years. The Norfolk Club has been offering members a quiet oasis of calm in the beating heart of this city, somewhere to relax and enjoy some of the finer things in life since 1770. It has been in its current home since 1888. It has survived wars, umpteen changes of government, financial crises, and more. But like much of the rest of civilization, took a bit of a pummeling when the pandemic struck. To counter the effects of a diminished membership, it has been on something of a recruitment drive to boost numbers. It was a difficult period to survive. It's not like a hotel or a business where you have lots of people coming in, says the chairman, Captain Ian Turner. With members, it takes a while to build it back up again. It was, as you might expect for a distinguished institution, a low-key drive. Though they did have a space at this year's Royal Norfolk Show, next to the President's enclosure, to showcase the club. It was a success. Membership is now in the 400s, says Captain Turner, with a broad expectation that it might top out at 500. With many new members in the 30 to 50 age group, which helps the longer-term prospects. Captain Turner, an urbane ex-BA jumbo jet pilot, says that the exercise did the club out of its comfort zone somewhat. The traditional method of expanding the membership was by proposal and seconding and acceptance vote. The club still has the antique aye and no boxes which were used for voting for decades. This time the club offered prospective members day memberships to allow them to come along, look around the club, perhaps have lunch and meet the staff and see if being a member works for both sides. We still like to preserve the atmosphere and ethos of the club. That's a very important thing for a club of this age, says Captain Turner. We stand for all those traditional values that people are brought up with and aren't talked about so much now. I suppose they're fairly unfashionable. At the heart of this country, people still hold them quite close. Respect for other people. Respect for our military. Being well-mannered and elegantly dressed. This club provides what they need. I wonder if, with my tie-less shirt, I have broken any dress code. But no, Captain Turner assures me. I am spot on. At least for daytime visits. And flip-flops and baggy shorts are never the thing. The club is, in a measured way, moving on into the 21st century. There is good Wi-Fi, a decent-sized car park, and it welcomes non-member businesses and organisations to use the excellent facilities for meetings and events. A tour of the club reveals an elegant suite of dining rooms, hung with oils of the great and the good. a large billiards room, library, a terrace, and rooms available for members to stay overnight or longer. Fine dining is very important to the club. A perusal of the lunchtime menu is mouth-watering. And if you need a little time after a good lunch to regroup or rest your eyes, there are plenty of comfortable chairs to settle into. In short, says Captain Turner, it offers a level of comfort at the very top end, fine dining, and staff who know you by name, but who are never over-familiar. And members might, one day, find themselves sharing the club with some very distinguished visitors. Two senior royals are members. Captain Turner won't be drawn on who, of course. The most recent royal visitor was Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. The club also has reciprocal arrangements with venues in London, the provinces, and overseas, which gives members introductions to the network.